your man Josie Mo, a.k.a. Joe Murder. And every time I'm online, I gotta check out nappyafro.com for hip-hop reviews and more. Get at me.
So I wake up today at 8, and I'm on the couch dozing. I was trying not to miss these niggas. Come 12 o'clock, ain't nobody showed up. So I called the cable company, and them motherfuckers is like, they said between 8 and 9. And I said, 8 and 9 what? And she's like, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. What the fuck? What the fuck kind of service window is that shit?
I was like, so you mean tell me I gotta put my whole life on hold for cable? Like, are you serious? Like, no.
Nigga, I was heated. Because this is the customer service rep that set it up, because they fucked up last week and cut my shit off when I sent in the payment. Not only cut my shit off, but they applied it to somebody else's shit. And we talking about a $200 payment.
NappyAfro.com. Well, if I want to shave it close, so I want to rock locks that'll take a bit away from the soul that I got. Little girl with the pressing curl. AJ, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxing.
Y'all know what motherfucking time it is. Episode 41 of the Frocast. Hit motherfuckers like Glenn Rice. What's up, man? It's your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Mr. Classic. Sitting in with the homie to the side. What's up, King Germ? Say good to the people.
What's going on? It's your boy King Germ, a.k.a. Taco. You know what I'm saying? It's fantasy football time. I'm in my taco mode right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm doing the money dance.
Shiva!
Yes, sir. So what's going on, man?
Not much, man. We got a lot of shit on the docket. You know. And you caught a little bit of heat, so we're going to start off the show with that. You caught last week. We're back into the Olympics. The shit, probably we'll hear us talk about it next week, because I think it'll be over then.
Probably so.
But this week, you caught a lot of heat on Twitter, nappyafro.com on Twitter. NappyAfro on Twitter.
Just NappyAfro.
Gabby Douglas wins the gold
Gabby Douglas.
The U.S., and she wins the all-around. She fell short on the uneven bars. You know, that shit happens. But the reason we're talking about it, and the reason that most people were talking about her, is because everybody was talking about her hair. And you chimed in. What are your thoughts on Gabby Douglas's hair?
Well, okay. At first, it just like when she won, I was like, oh, yeah, I was happy she won. But then I was just like, then I took a shot of her hair, and I was like, woo, her hair look bad. And so, you know, me just being a, you know, person that just tweets little random nothings, I just tweeted Gabby Douglas. I put, you know, pound or whatever they call it, Gabby Douglas hair. And then I was just like, I just said, oh, my God, or something like that. And, you know, next thing I know, people just went in. I mean, it was just crazy. People I never even, you know, deal with on Twitter. They just come in, asshole, fuck you. You son of a bitch, that's what's wrong. You taking her down. You're taking away from her moment. I was just like, damn. So y'all telling me her hair look good. I'm on defense mode now. So, you know, people attacking me because I just said the girl hair looked bad. And let's be honest, people, her hair looked bad.
Okay, whoa. How did her hair look bad? How did her hair look bad?
It's all right. First of all, the chick had like a weave ponytail in. It's nothing wrong with weave. So, ladies, if you're wearing weave, then, you know, this is not about you. You know what I'm saying? But she had the weave in her hair and it didn't look good. You know, in her defense, people say, well, she was living in, you know, bumfuck, you know, Montana practicing, so she was living with white people and they know to do with her hair, obviously, you know what I'm saying, because she had blue streaks of weave in her hair, and she had like 100 bobby pins in her shit, and then the shit, oh man, it looked terrible, man, you know, and then you look at her mama hair ain't look like that, so if my mama flew in, I don't care if my mama flew in for 15 minutes and she seen me, baby, you gotta do something to your hair, somebody should have did something to your hair. Because black people, we don't go out like that with our hair messed up. Your mama always tell you, make sure you have clean drawers on and your hair look good. You know, the clean drawers was in case you're in an accident and they got to cut your drawers off. You ain't going to have no shit stains in your drawers. And, you know, that'd be embarrassing your parents. They'd be like, oh, my God, this, you know, her parents don't make them white. You know how.
Yeah, but, okay, parents. First of all, if you have an accident in the car, you're probably going to have shitty drawers regardless.
Yeah,
you gotta
exactly,
shit on
exactly.
yourself. But secondly, okay. How did her – I don't understand the aesthetics behind her hair looking bad.
I mean,
because she had a ponytail and she had it gelled, just like the white gymnast, just like every other gymnast that's been in the Olympics. I don't see how it looked bad.
Man, listen, dog. Obviously, the hair looked bad because everybody noticed it. Everybody – people got upset about us, the people that took notice to it.
But is it because it looked bad, or is it because y'all were commenting on a 16-year-old girl's hair at the Olympics when she just won the gold and was the first African-American to do so?
But like I said, Dominique Dawes, when she was competing, she ain't had no hair at all. She had that little small little pebbles ponytail in her head, and you know, it wasn't no problem. I'm just saying, she could have went without the weave, rocked her real. I don't care if she, I mean, people make it seem like she had an afro and we was attacking her hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, she should have put a perm in it. No, we're not saying that, people. We just saying it looked bad. People say, but she exercised, and that's how people hair look when they exercise. So what? That's what I'm saying. But, and then since we throwing the blame around, Michelle Obama needs some blame. Because Michelle Obama, how you going to be a black woman? You see somebody, you supposed to be teen mom and shit. How you going to sit there and see a black child hair look bad? You supposed to say, oh, hold up, girl. Grab a brush and some Crown Royal dressing and fix that shit up. You know, she shouldn't even let her go out terrible like that. So Michelle Obama, yes, Michelle Obama gets some blame.
I'm calling you terrible. I can't believe that you was talking about a 16-year-old girl's hair after she won the gold medal. The gold medal. Like, some shit just isn't important. It's just not important. I personally don't think her hair looked no different than any of the white people, the Russian people, any of the motherfuckers that was up there with their hair gel back with 30 bobby pins.
Hey, did you see in the commercials that that NBC was airing, that was, you know, when they had all the gymnast girls talking, they just showed Abby, they just showed Gabby's face. They ain't show her hair. They showed all the other girls' hair, but they cropped her picture because they know her hair looked bad, man.
Well, they also said that her outfit wasn't patriotic enough. So let's not use the media as a beacon to say what's right and wrong with Gabby Douglas.
I mean, I'm just saying, people, keep it honest, man. The girl had it not look good. And I'm not saying, I mean, it's taking nothing away from what she did. I am proud of her.
But you are taking away from what she did.
How am I taking away from it?
Because you're
picking certain times.
You're nitpicking about a moment that was too great to be worried about her fucking hair. It's too big to be worried about her fucking hair.
It's just like, think about it. 20 years from now, when we see the tape, we're going to be like, oh yeah, remember the 2012 Olympics in London when Gabby Douglas went da-da-da-da-da? And we're going to look at it and we're like, damn, her hair was fucked up. That's what we're going to say 20 years from now. And let's not stop like we don't talk bad about little kids. We talk bad about Willow Smith. She's a kid. We talk bad about, hey, I know a kid that gets more hate than anybody, and that's damn Jay-Z baby. That motherfucker, people talk bad about that baby. So let's not act like Gabby's on this level that she's above getting talked about, because we talk about kids.
But it comes a point within our community that we just need to let that shit go, because what you're doing is acting a fucking fool. It's not about Gabby getting the pass. It's Gabby in this situation. But if it had been Dominique Dawes, if it had been anybody else, we need to stop that shit, man. That shit needs to stop. She's on the big. There is no bigger stage than the fucking Olympics right now, especially for gymnastics. And we on here, she wins the gold medal for the team. She wins the individual gold. And we're sitting up here talking about her hair. We're talking about her leotard ain't right. Motherfuckers is talking about her teeth. Like, it's just too fucking much. It's too fucking much. Like, niggas, and I'm saying niggas, need to just stop, man. This shit's out of hand. This shit is way out of hand. And my homeboy Zoe Williams on the Zoe Williams Morning Show, you can check that shit on Ustream, and you can check him out on Foxhole Radio. He opened up his morning show with this Monday. And I think that there's a certain, and I said this when I called in, I think there's a certain amount of black folks that tend to feel like when you have your natural hair, if you have a ponytail, if you have a weave pulled back, if you have an afro, yeah, let me not even say natural hair, unpermed hair, let me put it that way. If you have anything other than permed hair and you're around white people, there's a certain amount of shame or acceptance or defiance that has to go along with that. You know what I'm saying? So if you go to work with an afro, you're worried about making sure it's not too high. If you go to work with locks, or if you try and get a job with locks, people are still worried about getting accepted at jobs because they have locks. And so we see Gabby out here on the grandest stage of all, and she's doing it with hair doesn't even matter. That motherfucker could have shaved bald and people would have been talking about it. So the hair isn't even the issue. You just have to stop tearing each other down on certain stages. It's how I feel about it. Certain times, even if you're trying to be funny, at certain times, some shit ain't funny. That's
I mean, and that's the thing. I wasn't trying to be funny. It was just like,
so you seriously was like, her hair looks like shit.
I was just like, man, wow. I mean, the way her hair looked, because it was like all them bobby pins, all them pins, and it looked weird, man. I mean, you know,
everybody had that. Like, why didn't you talk about the Russian chick who had like 35 bobby pins, or the glitter all on her from neck up? She was all glitter. The motherfucker looked like a penny. How come nobody talked about that shit?
Man, it's just, I just feel like a jerk now, man. It's just, you know, man,
cause you wrong, man. Nigga. Cause you wrong.
Oh man, Gabby. I mean, even some, and then some African, some Nigerian chick. What her name was? See, you love me too.
Yeah, now that shit. Now, nigga, you was wrong for that shit too.
Like, I was wrong.
But your comment, cause you was like, well, you Nigerian, so of course you think that. I was like, God damn, germ.
Oh yeah, she. But no. This is why I went hard on her. Cause first of all, she said her name is @CULOVELUVME, the number two. So see, you love me too on Twitter. She said, "Yeah, you dick eating when she can do whatever she want with her hair. If you black start supporting them when good things happen, duh." Then I was just like, okay. And then she was like, "I still don't understand what's wrong with her hair." And she's like, and then that's when I was just like, I said, but you African, so, you know, maybe I was wrong.
You was wrong as a motherfucker, like, because you know, you basically just said Africans don't know shit about doing hair, is what you were implying.
Not doing hair, but just, you know, about quality hair, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, the sun then toasted your motherfucking hair, your shit fucked up, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, not every African, that's just, you know, the little, you know, stereotypical.
Yeah,
so,
you making this shit worse, nigga.
So yeah, so just let me stop, man. We, you know, let's move on. You know, I don't want to.
We got to keep it on the same sort of topic though. Serena Williams.
Yeah. So first of all, so let me say, shout out to Gabby, man, Gabby.
God damn, you can't even get a name right. This nigga here is the worst. Sorry. Serena Williams was sleepwalking at Wimbledon, and when she was asked about it after, they asked her, you know, of course, you know, the vultures out of the media. And let me say this, that the motherfucking reporters at the Olympics are the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen at any sports event. These niggas are terrible this year, yo.
They don't care.
Not at all. So they knew, everybody knew what the shit was. And they gonna ask her to name it. And, you know, of course, Serena is not gonna be duped. The motherfucker's from Compton. She's street smart. She's not gonna be duped. So she didn't name what the walk was. But everybody knows it's a sea walk. Do you have a problem with her doing the sea walk at Center Court at Wimbledon for the Olympics?
I love that shit.
So let me get this straight. And this was posted on that site. Somebody asked a question. And I'm not saying if I agree or disagree with the question, but this is how it was framed. Black people saluted Serena doing a gang walk, as they called it. But they were tearing down Gabby Douglas because of her hair. Is that shit right? Is that accurate?
I mean, I'm just saying my personal opinion. I like that because, you know, people, you know, it's just like, she just, that's American. She just, you know, did some American stuff. Like, people, if she would have been Irish and did like the little poke, I mean, you know, the little polka dance that the Russian people be doing, little squatting and, oh, nobody would have cared. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, that's some American shit. Okay. She did some American shit.
It is
shit,
not,
you know?
American shit. What's the last white person you seen seawalk other than Brent Berry?
Last white person I seen seawalk? Hey, one of them, have you ever seen Bring It On? That little white dude that being Bring It On with Amari on the shit. He was doing it.
Stop.
Come on, man. Dude, man, you go on YouTube right now playing. It's a white dude teach you how to seawalk on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't have an issue with it. I really don't give a shit. I thought it was pretty fucking dope, actually. But I don't know, like, both of those issues and the controversy they both brought up just seems like we're still struggling for acceptance or we're still looking for the cosign, the sign off, or the okay. And you know what, man? Just be black. Just, you know, whatever the fuck you feel like doing. I mean, let's not argue about Serena seawalking at Wimbledon when we got motherfuckers still breakdancing for chicken in commercials. If I see one more black person dance for some goddamn chicken in a commercial, but we worried about Serena at Wimbledon? I'm not concerned.
It's all right, man. I'm telling you, man. If they offer me enough money, I'd dance in a damn commercial for some chicken, man. I'm be honest.
But you probably dance for some chicken anyway.
Yep.
You go down to the motherfucking Candy Lady house on Wing Day, and you dance, skip all the way back to the crib with the chicken, don't you?
You damn right, boy. And that's tomorrow, just so you know.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, at this time, we're so hyper-conscious.
Yeah, man. I mean, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, we always worried about that's another thing. But I think that goes back to, because I know my granddad used to tell us, we could cut up, as long as we ain't cut in front of white people. It was something about him having, like, I guess black people didn't want to have bad kids in front of white people, I guess, and especially in the South, because I guess you want to kill that stereotype that we're all wild, uncontrollable. So, you know, if we acted up in front of white people, my granddad used to lose it. You know what I'm saying? That's when we get our ass whooped. You know, so he ain't play that shit. You better not act up in front of them crackers. That's what he'll say sometimes. But so, you know, but he wasn't racist and that.
Yeah, man. It's know, just it's this kind of shit. This the topic and the way it blew up black Twitter, yeah, and the internet is why when white people say get over it about slavery, I tell them to shut the fuck up. Because there's deep roots in all that shit. Nobody has been I think I talked about this on another show, where when people go through a serious issue, they end up being in like the military, they end up being debriefed. They go through counseling and they talk their way through the situation, and then they go back to society and they work the shit out. We didn't have that happen. You know what I'm saying? Black folks just went from slaves to being released to dealing with some fucked up laws and then trying to assimilate into society, and nobody's been debriefed. So white people are still thinking a bunch of negative shit. Black people are still thinking a bunch of negative shit. And then you have a stage like the Olympics when anything happens, it's going to blow up on both sides. Because you know the comment section, white people go the fuck off in the comment section.
And then you got to think about how the European people are. They like, they just don't, like, race-wise, like, them some rude motherfuckers. Like, they say what the fuck on their mind. And they, ugh. It ain't like, they not civilized like our good American white people over here.
and that's a joke within itself. Our good civilized white people over here.
They ain't like our good civilized white people. Oh, no.
It's just, you know, I just wish the shit, you know, I don't know. I'm so frustrated because it's at a forefront now. It's at the forefront now, especially with Obama in office. Like, you know, I have to fight these battles every day with motherfuckers shitting on Obama. And it ends up being because he's black. They have no other recourse. They have no reason to dislike him. At the end of the day, it's, well, he's a nigga. That's what it boils down to. They won't say it that way. But, you know, once they start looking at the, I'm like, okay, what's the problem with this law? This law was done. He's a nigga. That's what they wanted to get to. So, I don't know, man. These Olympics is definitely bringing it out. And one black person that they can't say shit about, Usain Bolt, is smoking everybody who steps on the court.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this motherfucker ran a 9.64?
Yes.
I think he ran a 9.64 and 100 with a slow start.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
And god damn, I mean, the record is a 9, I forget what
his
record is. His record is 9.54.
Like 9.59 or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, he damn near broke his own record, and that was with a bad start. That's a bad dude right there.
Yeah.
I can't even say nothing about that cat. And Anthony Davis, now this is your boy. He decides to try and get in the game. I forget who we were playing. It was somebody we demolished, probably Dominican Republic or some shit. And this motherfucker is sitting on the bench ready to get in the game, and he don't have a jersey. How the fuck do you get to the bench of the Olympic basketball game and not have your jersey on under your warm-up?
He was shaving his unibrow. He was worried about to make sure that his unibrow was up to European standards. They had international competition rules for his unibrow, so he had to make sure it was, you know, game ready.
I don't know how the fuck you come to the bench without your shit.
I mean, and that was a groundbreaking Nigeria game. I mean, come on, man. You supposed to be in that.
Yeah, maybe that's why he didn't show up. He just said, fuck it. I don't need a jersey to play with these niggas. Give me a Sharpie and a t-shirt, and I get it in like we at the Y.
I mean, that's like that's the ultimate rookie shit, though, I guess. I mean, you know, that shit really...
That shit is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, man.
But
forget your jersey.
Let's stop talking about black shit in the Olympics. Let's talk about this motherfucker, Ryan Lochte.
Go Gators, first of all. Go Gators.
And shout out to all the black chicks who were showing Ryan Lochte love. I didn't even understand it at the time. Everybody, I was like, all the black people on Twitter was like, Ryan, all the black females on Twitter was all about Ryan Lochte this, Ryan Lochte. And I'm like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But then I found out, don't he allegedly have a black chick? He got a black girlfriend?
Kay Michelle.
Wait, what?
That's what I'm hearing, man. That's what the rumor site's saying.
Alright, so this motherfucker, Ryan Lochte, who's the boo of everybody on Twitter, and this issue hasn't even been brought up. He was apparently on Ryan Seacrest's morning show. Ryan Seacrest has a lot of fucking money, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that shit because I'm astounded by it. And Ryan Seacrest jokingly asked him if he ever peed in a pool. if the swimmers ever peed in the pool. And Ryan, you know, Ryan Lochte replied, of course, we always do, yada, yada, yada. So then Seacrest asked him if he ever peed in the pool in one of the races in London. And this nigga says, not in one of the races, but I'm sure I did before warm up. There's something about getting in the chlorine water that just makes you automatically go. Is it a fucking problem? Because when I see the Olympics, them cats before swimming was putting the shit in their mouth and spitting in the water and throwing the shit all over their body.
Man, you got millions. You got about a million gallons of water. The pee is, man, all the chlorine, it kills it, man. It'll be all right, man. It's not gonna kill you, man.
That's not
that man. That water, man. The way it looked, man. You'll be all right, man.
That's not the point. I'm sure the piss was dead. If you want to put it that way, because I'm sure the chlorine in that motherfucker is crazy. But why are you pissing in the water? You a grown ass man, dog.
I mean, where else you gonna go?
Go to the motherfucking bathroom. That's where most civilized people go. These are civilized white folks.
Come on. So you telling me you never pissed in the pool before? So all right.
Yeah, when I was a fucking kid. I'm not.
You haven't done it as an adult.
Fuck no. Why am I pissing in the pool?
Why not? I mean, if you're in a pool, why not? I mean, you got to piss. So you mean tell me you're going to get out of the pool to go to the bathroom to pee when you're in there and all that?
Hey, what? I tend to go before I get in the pool. That's a good fucking idea.
What if you do that and you still like, yeah, you got to... Ah, man, I'm sorry, man. No.
So you're okay. Let me get this straight. You're co-signing Ryan Lochte pissing in the Olympic pool with another 8 swimmers or another 7 swimmers. You're okay with that. But you got a problem with Gabby's hair.
I pissed in the pool with 13 little kids in it.
That don't make it right. That makes it ratchet as fuck.
No, man. Hey, man. No. So I'm okay with
it. You're okay with pissing in the pool, but you got a problem with a weave ponytail.
I didn't say a weave ponytail. I just said the way it looked.
Okay, so you got a problem with the way her hair looked, but you're okay with pissing in the pool and, you know, that's getting in somebody's mouth. That's cool. And swimming in your own piss. That's cool with you.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Just go move on.
But you guys understand how much water it dilutes. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Unbelievable. This motherfucker, man, this is the kind of shit you get on the motherfucking Frocast, man.
But it's the truth. Everybody know. Everybody peed in the pool before, man. Of course. And I can't believe you as a grown man hasn't peed in the pool.
Nigga, I go to the pool once a week at the goddamn Gold's Gym. And I don't
pee in the pool. And you don't pee? Oh, man.
No.
Do you know everybody's peeing in that pool?
Not when I get there. I get there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm the first one there. Now, they may have pissed in there the night before, but, you know, hopefully.
Oh, the dude, the man opening up, he peed in the pool. He don't even get in the pool. he just leans over. He pees in the pool every morning.
So the nigga come in and unlock the door, turn the light, whip it out.
He just whips it out, peeing at everyone. He just like, he just sit there, the little low. Man, that's got to be the ultimate feeling, man.
Man, it looks like I'm done swimming in the pool. It looks.
Oh, man, don't let me deter you, though, sorry.
I mean, nigga, not every time I go to the pool, I'll be thinking about this nigga opening, unlocking the door, turning the lights on, and pissing in the pool at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm good.
Hey man.
Good.
You got to think about it. It's all that water, man. It's not going to bother you.
I'm so good. We just gonna move the fuck on. This show is crazy.
Tiny bubbles. Just look for bubbles.
This show is off to a hell of a start. We talked about this motherfucker maybe 5 or 6 episodes ago, T.O., and we all said that it was done. It was over. Well, not so fast. T.O. got invited to the Seattle, I'm not calling them the Seahawks, the Sea Chickens practice.
Oh.
And he got signed. He got a 1-year contract for $1 million. Now the problem is who's not gonna make it, because they're pretty thick at receiver right now. I think in the NFL you only need like 4 or 5 receivers, and they got like 8. Here's who he's going up against: Golden Tate, who will probably make the team. Sidney Rice, who's concussion prone. I don't know if he'll make it. Doug Baldwin was one of their top receivers. I think he might have been their top receiver last season. Ben Obamanu, say that 3 times fast. Chris Durham, Obama. I don't know that motherfucker. Ricardo Lockie, I don't know that name.
Chris Durham from University of Georgia, man. White guy.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know that motherfucker. And Braylon Edwards, who just got signed like last week. do you think is the odd man out? Or odd two? They might end up cutting two of these motherfuckers. There's a lot of receivers.
Oh, man. So I'm going to go with Ricardo, and I'm going to let him here and say Sidney Rice.
You think they're going to cut Sidney Rice?
Well, I mean, hey, if he can't play, what good are you to me? If you're concussion prone, I mean, hey, you can't play.
That nigga's fast, though. You know, you might be able to get him in a couple plays, you know, kickoff returns or some shit like that. You know, they done softened up the kickoff return.
What's this, Braylon Edwards, like 16? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, Braylon Edwards. I think Braylon's going to be the eye man out. I mean, and T.O. just ran, he just ran a fucking 4.5 40 at 38 years old with a broke knee.
Hey, T.O., wow.
He's going to be there, and I think, is it Chris or Ricardo? One of them niggas is 6'6".
Wow. Chris Durham, he's a tall guy.
So maybe it's Chris Durham is like 6'6". So, you know, I think Braylon might be the eye man out. And not only that, I don't think T.O. is going to make it a full season.
Hey, man, T.O. hungry, man. That man got bills, man. He got bills.
Those bills haven't stopped. You know what I'm saying? He's had bills. So let's not act like that bad. The motherfucker has had bills.
It's like he realized that he's like, I can't do nothing else. Like, I can't do nothing else. Like,
did he realize, you know, that with the arena team? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had a stake in ownership. And he just quit showing up to events.
I mean, I guess T.O. said he want to get one more shot at the league, man. Prove he can make it. I think he just want to catch one touchdown. He's just going to retire. Do some Dennis. He might do some Dennis Rodman shit, like blow his brains out at the touchdown celebration.
God.
T.O. He going to have a gun in his jersey. He's going to score. Boom! And everybody like, oh, shit. I mean,
this nigga is, I think he's going to end up, what's going to happen is he's going to come in. He'll probably be the third receiver on this team. He's going to put up some serious numbers, and then he's going to start acting out by, like, week 7. It's going to happen. I mean, because he's playing in a garbage conference. You know, I'm a Rams fan. I'll admit that our conference ain't shit. Mm-hmm. We have no corners. Shut up. We have no corners. So he's going to put up numbers. I just don't think he's going to stay for the whole season. He'll fuck it up. And then once he gets cut from Seattle, depending on how he plays in Seattle, he might end up getting another job in the NFL. That's the crazy part about it. If he puts up decent numbers, but he's an asshole, they'll still resign him somewhere. So, congrats to T.O. and fuck.
Congrats, man. All of them got a good job, man. T.O., Ocho Cinco, and Randy Moss, man. All of them got a job, man.
Who do you think is going to have the better season?
Can't trust Alex Smith. Ocho, his quarterback situation shaky. And then T.O., I mean, between the three, I'm going to go with T.O., but for my fantasy reason, I'm going to say Randy Moss.
Yeah, I don't know how it cannot be Randy Moss, to be honest. The Dolphins are going to be working with a rookie. Tannehill's probably going to start. So let's not even put him in the equation.
Hey, man, Cam Newton.
What about Cam Newton?
I mean, you just say he's a rookie. Like, I was like, so is Cam Newton.
Yeah,
you
but know, with Tannehill's not Cam Newton.
I mean, I'm just saying whatever that means. I'm just
And not to mention, Chad couldn't catch a ball from Tom Brady. So,
I mean, Chad just didn't learn the playbook.
That's a problem. I mean, when you play wide receiver, that's a problem if you can't figure out the playbook.
Yeah.
So I can't think that he's gonna have a good season. So
that's why they said they was like, we can't even get you in the offense. You don't know the offense, so right. I can't throw you.
Yeah, fuck it.
He was like the fifth or sixth option, man. He was garbage.
Trash. So know, unfortunately, I think Randy Moss is gonna do it. Even though you can't trust Alex Smith, you don't have to, because Frank Gore can run. They picked up Brandon Jacobs, and they picked up somebody else too running the ball. It doesn't make sense. It's out of hand. San Francisco right now is out of hand. They are the West Coast New England Patriots.
They got Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, they got Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
So, but they got somebody else. Like, there's somebody else. When the free agency started, they picked up everybody in the world. I was like, Jesus Christ. On top of the 90 receivers they picked up two or three more running backs. Not to mention, they got Gore, they got Brandon Jacobs, and they got the other guy, Kirby. Was it Kirby that filled in for Gore when he was hurt?
Dang, yep. The guy, what was his name?
I forget offhand.
Something like that.
He's fucking 49ers, and I'm not happy about it. So, yeah, I got to go with Moss. I mean, what else can you do? That team is going to be a problem, for real. So, you know, shout out to T.O. for getting another job, and good luck, nigga. What else we got in sports? We got the Hall of Fame game. Football was officially on some people's TV. Yep. I have Time Warner Cable, so I don't have the NFL Network. I had to check it out on the internet. And the Saints and the Cardinals played, and I think the Saints, you said the Saints won 17-10 was the final. 17-10. Can we talk about Cole right quick?
Go ahead.
The Cardinals quarterback, who I thought would actually be a good pickup in free agency. Because I saw him throw when he played the Rams and made us look like Swiss cheese. And I saw him play in Philly when he was throwing the nice bombs and shit when he was playing against the Redskins. The dude can throw. But since he's been in Arizona, that nigga's whack as hell. So the first play of the game, this motherfucker drops back, throws an interception, and gets injured on the first play. And they end up back to Skelton, who was the – I think it's Skelton's job to lose, basically, is the whole point of this whole thing. Cole, I think Cole got like a 3-year, $30 million contract or some shit, or $40 million contract when Arizona picked him up as a free agent. And now they look like they're going with Skelton, who probably makes $55. What do you think about their whole quarterback situation and the Hall of Fame game?
First of all, I don't watch preseason NFL. I mean, it's just is a waste. It's a waste. It's like watching a job interview. Bunch of guys is trying to make it, and I'm not interested. You keep that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not. You know, there's no such thing as a scrimmage. Fuck, I want to watch a scrimmage for. So fuck that. You know what I'm saying? As far as the situation in Arizona, fuck Kevin. You know, I'm glad he's out of Philly. You know, Mike Vick running the show. So fuck that nigga, man. I don't even get fuck him. Who cares about the Cardinals quarterbacks? You know what I'm saying? You fucking Arizona. Who gives a shit? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I can't argue with that shit. I don't think I like shit about Arizona but the T, nigga. So that's it. The Arizona T is the only thing I like about that shit.
Oh, so you're not a Cardinal fan?
Arizona Cardinals?
Yes.
Are you serious right now?
I mean, they used to be in St. Louis. That's what I'm asking.
Nigga, no. They were in St. Louis with Bidwell, and I hated Bidwell. So when them niggas left, I was more like good riddance.
Okay, so did they start out in St. Louis?
I don't think the Cardinals started in St. Louis. I feel like they came from somewhere else. I'm not sure. But that's where they started before they went to Arizona.
Yeah, cause I know they used to be the Phoenix Cardinals. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they went from St. Louis to Phoenix to Arizona Cardinals. Is the name change. But, yeah, fuck them. So I'm definitely not. You know, and they're in our division. Fuck them cats. And they have the reason outside of the Bidwell situation and outside of the conference shit, the other reason why I don't like them in any team in Phoenix is because their fans are horrible. Because, you know, I lived in Phoenix for 2 years, and the Cardinals had a home playoff game. It's the first one they've had in probably ever, I think in franchise history or some shit. And they couldn't sell out the fucking home playoff game. Are you serious?
Just for the people to know, the Arizona Cardinals is actually one of the oldest franchises in the NFL. They started out in Chicago. Then they moved in. They started in Chicago in 1898 and a charter member of the NFL in 1920. They moved to St. Louis in 1960 and played there to 1987. So, you know.
So they've been terrible for a long fucking time is basically what that means.
Yeah.
And their fans are awful, so I don't fuck with them at all. And I want, like the hater pimp said, you know, I want everything bad in life to happen to you and only you. That's how I feel about them niggas, man.
Why? So what's the Bidwell hate, man, if I may ask?
He was horrible. Like, nah, you'd have to we'd have to say that for a whole nother show. It was one of the worst ownerships in sports. Like,
I mean, I know because Wilbon hates him. You know what I'm saying? Wilbon hates him.
Yeah, it's one of the worst ownerships. We might have to do a show on that alone. Just horrible owners. Them niggas was awful. And they were awful in St. Louis. They didn't want to make any moves. And, you know, we just had a shitty team. We just had a shitty team for all that time. It's just awful. And then they just picked up and rolled out to Arizona. It was awful. That whole situation was awful. So I don't fuck with them. I don't think they even have the same. I don't think it's even the Bidwells anymore. I think it's somebody else on the ship.
I think they sold.
Yeah, probably. And shout out to the Browns, who also got sold over the last couple days.
Yeah.
New owners.
How much did the Browns get sold for?
$800 million. $800 million.
For the Cleveland Browns, did that include the stadium?
I think they might have included the entire city, nigga.
I mean, I'm about to say, that might have to be the Browns, the Cavs, Is there anything else in Cleveland to buy? Like, I mean, what else is there in Cleveland?
Joe Kimpoa, I don't know. According to him, there's not shit there in Cleveland. So,
wow, they call it a mistake by the lake, man.
Well, it is, man. So yeah, they got sold. I don't really know what this means. You got Brandon Weeden as your quarterback, and you got the new ownership. So,
shout out to my boy Joe, man. He from Cleveland, man. But yeah, man, that's some bullshit, man. Wow, $800 million.
$800 million, dog.
For the Browns.
Hey, you know, it's some real money to be made up there. You know, I ain't even mad at Jay-Z for getting his stake in the damn ownership. It's some money to be made up there at the top.
Wow, but Jay-Z's a minority owner, man. He don't make no move. He ain't got no pull. They just tell him, hey, Jay, hey, you just run the music on the sound system. That's all you do, buddy.
Hey,
you get your free tickets, and you just conduct music at the games. We don't ask you about no player moves or none of that shit, because we see Jay-Z don't run shit because Chris Humphries got re-signed. So, nigga, you ain't shit, Jay.
Yeah, but I see that Russian motherfucker didn't move the team to Brooklyn.
Nope.
So, it had to be Jay-Z. Who else?
Man, the Russian man bought the bill. Jay-Z is a minority. I wonder how much Jay-Z owned in this.
He must have had the influence to move him, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, man. They had to get out of New Jersey. It was a wasteland out there, man. They had to compete with the niggas. It was a business decision to do that. Yes, man.
But whose idea? Do you think the Russian motherfucker like, we need to move to Brooklyn? You think he said that shit? Jay-Z was like, oh, we need to move to Brooklyn, sir. That's what the fuck happened. He moved to Brooklyn with this. Are they really going to do the outdoor stadium or the open roof stadium?
I really don't know. We have to ask BZ about that. But I doubt it. I think it's going to be a downtown stadium, I do think. So I don't know if it's going to be open roof. That would be hot, though.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. I don't know how the NBA players are going to show up. And how the fuck are you going to go to a game and they get rained out in this basketball?
Yeah, Jay-Z owns 1.47% of the team.
Yeah, that's nothing. But he's definitely the face. He's definitely the face. 1.47 ain't even worth mentioning. That's why they don't mention that number. God damn. That's why they just say he's part ownership, because that's fucking nothing. Hey, he owns more than I do, but still.
Hey, Jay, would you put in 10,000? I mean,
he put in a Rockefeller chain. He was like, fucking.
That nigga put in 10 stacks. Right, Jay was just like, yo, man.
Let me be down.
You let me run down to the bank, man. Let me get some more cash. This is just what I got on me. This is just what I got on
God
me.
Damn. I mean, that nigga owns more of his albums than he do with a goddamn shit. But, yeah, you know, shout out to Jay. Shout out to that whole situation. It's a decent look. I mean, I like the fact that he's the face of the team. He's the one they always go to for the decisions and shit. But I don't know how that's going to work out. I need to get me part ownership of the team. Let me go somewhere. Because if I can get a part ownership of the Rams, Sam Bradford's ass is gone. He's gone, nigga.
Get rid of Sam, that's your boy.
No, he's not. We had this conversation before, too. I'm not happy about that. But, yeah, so we're going to wrap it up. I think next show we'll probably actually have some sports. You're going to have to watch the preseason games because I'm watching this shit for the nation. This love and hip hop shit we're about to talk about. So you gotta
watch
the
season game. Okay. All right, man.
So speaking of the love and hip hop, Atlanta, it's time for us to give you an update. This is King Germ's favorite show on the fucking TV. Just talk about the episode, man.
Okay, man. Let me give you your weekly catching up, folks. Well, in this episode, we had Benzino. I mean, he was no, I'm not gonna start Benzino. Start with Stevie J.
Benzino? No, you gotta say Stevie J for last. You gotta save.
Okay. We're gonna start with Benzino. Benzino, he and Carly Rae. Carly Rae is the 40-year-old chick that doesn't have a Wikipedia page. That's, you know, want to do a song. She thinks Stevie J is gonna get her popping. Folks, Stevie J hadn't had a big song in so long. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
He hadn't had a song in so long that he's still cool with Benzino. Put it that way.
Exactly. Benzino is the best. That's your homie, Benzino. So anyway, so Benzino getting Carly Rae, you know, photo shoots in his magazine. So
of course.
And, you know, and he talking about he thinking about putting a ring on his chick, man. You know, so he out there looking at jewelry like he about to buy a ring and get married. Like, Benzino, you only know her, you know, in TV time 3 weeks. So we'll say 2 months maybe. Not even that, because they probably taped this whole show in 2 months, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think they had a long budget on this shit. They probably shot this shit. It's all like one or two cameras anyway, so they're not making a lot of money. You're probably right. It may have been a month or two.
Yeah, Benzino looking at rings, trying to, you know, wife up, what's her name, Carly. Then we got Scrap. Scrap then moved on with Bucky, or Shay, excuse me, Shay. And, you know, and her hair, by the way, was looking terrible. Terrible. You know, so Gabby, you ain't the only one.
Oh, Shay, my God.
Johnson, your hair was looking bad. Like, yo, that shit was terrible. But anyway, and then so, you know, she shows up to Rashida's little spot with Rashida and Scrap doing the song. K Michelle, you know, being the little, you know, one thing about her, she talk a lot, man. She one of them girls. She like drama a lot, cause she got to run back and tell everybody something. You know, that's one thing. You know, I don't like about her, but you know, it ain't too much I don't like about her. But that's one of the things I don't like. But then, you know, anyway, get to the real deal of the story. Let's skip all the other stuff. Stevie J suggests therapy for him and his old girl. So all three. So just think about it. Stevie J is in therapy with his baby mama and his side chick. He's really trying to make all of this work, and he's trying. You know, and it's amazing because everybody didn't have been in a Stevie J situation before. Like, he's like, is there a way I can make this? You know.
Yeah, Stevie J, Mimi, and Joseph, as everybody calls it.
Joseph.
On the goddamn internet. So these niggas go to counseling. He tells her to her face that he wants to bring Joseph into counseling. Yes. Of course, at first, she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck? And of course, in Stevie J's magic words, in two or three sentences, she says, okay, I'm thinking about it, okay. Yes. So she agrees to the shit. Now they go to counseling, and Stevie J's sitting in the middle. Mimi's to his left. Joseph is to his right. Joseph goes to talking and she starts sweating. Stevie J pulls a napkin out and dabs the sweat off her fucking face.
Yo, that was hilarious.
Nigga.
It's like he forgot Mimi was in the room. It's like he forgot she was there. I was just like, when this nigga did this shit, I was just like, oh, shit.
Even the doctor said that. He said, what the hell was that?
He said, what the hell was that? I mean, and then, you know, Steve was like, what? I mean, she started beating up on her nose. Like, in his mind, he wants to make this work. And this is what's so amazing about the show, seeing Stevie J get by. I mean, it's like to see him get by. It's like a character that you love to hate, just to see him get by every week, man. It's crazy, man. So, people, if you're not watching, please watch. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this week because, you know, we got a lot to talk about. But Love and Hip Hop, man.
You forgot about the best part. We can't leave without the best part. So, this motherfucker says
best part show last night.
Go ahead.
Hey, man, when they walked into that restaurant, and K Michelle had on that red dress, my mouth hit the floor.
Nigga, that's not the best part. Shut up.
That wasn't the best part.
That wasn't the best part, nigga. The best part was when they were sitting there in counseling, and Joseph finds out that they still trying to be together. Apparently, I don't know what kind of lost world that motherfucker's in, but she didn't know that Mimi lived in the same house with Stevie J. I had no clue. And she finds out in counseling. So she's like,
but remember, Stevie had another house. Maybe she's thinking about the other house that he got. Remember,
she didn't know he lived in any house with her.
Oh, man.
Because whatever was said, Mimi, she was like, oh, you still trying to have a relationship with her? And Mimi was like, yeah, we live in the same house. And she was like, oh, you live in a house with her? And he was like, yeah, you know. And then she was like, okay. She nodded, and then it was on. She starts swinging on that nigga. And she grabbed a hold of him and started whooping his ass. And, of course, Mimi did like she's supposed to do. She got the fuck out the way and let the nigga. And Joseph was beating Stevie J's ass. Like, that shit, as scripted as the show is, that ass whooping wasn't scripted. That nigga was getting stuck. And he ends up eventually, after all the cameraman and everybody jump in and pull it apart, he ends up saying, fuck that bitch, and walks out. Of course, he leaves the situation. Joseph is pissed because she had no idea. Because 2 nights ago, Stevie J came to her house and said he wanted to fuck. So, yeah. It was hot and heated. It was hot and heated. That part of the episode right there, nigga, was the best shit ever.
Oh.
And okay. Joseph apparently... Now it's hilarious that we call this motherfucker Joseph.
I know, right?
Apparently, the female Twitter nation... The female Twitter delegation is on Joseph's side now. Because now, out of all this, she's also a hurt woman now, all of a sudden. In one simple move, she went from being the bitch on the side to being a hurt woman to people on the side.
Because, I mean, you know what? It was so funny how the first show, like everybody's like, oh, fuck her, she's taking on Mimi. And then next thing you know, oh, she's getting played too. And, oh, and she started crying. And, you know, when she said that she ain't going back to the strip club and, you know, she ain't had nothing, you know, that part right there won her over with the people. They was like, oh, she's a whore, but she's human. And, you know, when they did that, you know.
I wonder at what point does it stop being all Stevie J's fault? Because both these motherfucking women have enough.
Oh, man, Mimi is the weakest. I mean, she sit there and talk all that shit. But, I mean, first of all, you showed up to the meeting. I know you doing a show. But you showed up to be like, I would be like, what the fuck, niggas? What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you stupid? And, you know, I mean, oh, my God.
The fact he was able to ask her if he could bring his side to counseling and it went over and he didn't get knocked the fuck out.
Exactly. That's just like me going to ask my wife, hey, baby, you know, hey, what about a threesome? You know, so what? I mean, huh? You know, no, it's not, you know, it's not going to happen like that. No. You know, that's the funny thing about Stevie J, what he gets away with, man. Just to see it, I mean, it's amazing, man. Like, I applaud any nigga that can get away with it. Like, any woman that let a man get away with that shit, I have to applaud the man.
You can't help it. Not to mention that
a woman should let a man get away with anything he wants to, man. She shouldn't, man. I'm sorry.
Not only that, his side bitch called Mimi. Joseph called Mimi and said that I'm not leaving him alone because the dick is too good. Pause. Quoting her. So what the fuck? How do you sit in the room with a motherfucker that called you and told you that in a counseling session? Like, what else? Because she kept saying that she was going to let it go down because everything was going to come out. What else is there to come out? The nigga is fucking her. She was pregnant by him. She had an abortion. She called you and told you she's going to keep fucking with him. What else is there to know? I think that sometimes women are just gluttons for punishment. And no matter how bad it is, they just want it to be worse. They just want the backstory even more. Like, when they find out that you cheated on them or some shit, they be like, well, was she pretty? Like, they want you to turn the night into more. What did she do? Well, what's her name? Was she better than
me? I
want to
see her. Yes, I want to meet her. I want to meet her.
I don't understand. Like, they just want to be in more pain. What the fuck is going on? So, I can't even be mad at Stevie J. You know, this nigga is Mr. Monday Night for real. For real.
Yes.
The nigga has the game. I don't even know how else to say it. The nigga has the game. Even with all the little rat faces and shit, the Stevie J faces, if you not check that trending topic out on Twitter.
Oh my God. And it's like he gives us one. It's everyone. Like his little, the looks he give, man, just be so classic, man. Because the one last night, it was drawn out like the Grinch. Like when, you know, the Grinch stole Christmas, when his face just like turned it a little way he was smiling. It just drawn out slow and it was just like, wow.
I don't understand it at all. Are we gonna talk about Rashida's situation with her husband real quick?
Man, Rashida, we'll blow by real fast. But first of all, you work with your husband; he's your manager, and you know, let's be honest, Kirk, you're not getting the job done. Like, I mean, did he let the cat out of the bag? He said Rashida been on the scene since '90.
Yeah, that shit didn't sound good when he said it. I was like, she's selling more albums now than she did. I'm like, who's where? Where are the sales records? I haven't seen a Rashida album since the 90s.
I mean, the last one I seen was like 2000 and what that was. Because, I mean, I was still living in Georgia then. So, you know, it was something she had back then. It might have been a mixtape. Who knows?
I was about to say, you know, the actual album in an actual store that you saw, was it somebody selling it from the trunk of their car?
Nah, it was maybe her pushing her shit that you could get it somewhere, you know what I'm saying? You know, it wasn't, I didn't see the actual album now, come on, you know, let's be real. Yeah.
Well, apparently they getting into it and she's looking for new management and she's looking at, was that Waka Flocka's mama?
Yeah, that's Waka's mama.
Looking like, you know what, I ain't gonna talk about that man mama. I'm not, I refuse.
Somebody said she looked like Tracy Morgan.
Somebody said that and I can't argue with that. I didn't say it.
See, y'all people, y'all politically correct people say it's scared to tell the truth. If a motherfucker look like a duck, you say, man, that man look like a duck. You can't deny he looks like a duck because the man looks like a duck.
I
so I mean,
that. I said I agree with it. I just didn't say it. I'm not the one who, you know, originated the saying. That's okay. All.
I mean, yeah. I'm worried about B-Eazy. He the one living in Atlanta. He has to worry about all these beatdowns from the stuff I say. Oh, you one of them Nappy Afro niggas, huh? Pop, 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 pop.
You damn
he need King Jern.
Costed with the goddamn.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? B-Eazy going to be the one getting beat up by these Atlanta niggas because of shit we say. So, yeah, I ain't worried about it.
But, so, apparently, she's looking to take over Rashida's career. And Rashida and her husband will get back to just being husband and wife. I guess my question is that what he does? Like, is her underground rapper career taking care of both of their salaries and their needs? Because if so, then I guess she is moving albums.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's more albums than she ever had before? 1,000? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, who knows? But Kirk, if I don't know what he does. I don't see, you know, I don't know. They don't show Kirk doing nothing else. I can see he looked like he do have another job. He probably worked like, you know, for Georgia Power or something like that.
Nigga, and did you say Georgia Power?
Yeah.
So you think this nigga is cutting off people's shit?
Yeah. He look like, I mean, he look like somebody do something like that, man.
So I
don't know. He cried too damn much, and he'd get fried on the job.
That was the next thing I was about to say, is that the black women Twitter delegation ate that nigga up. Because he's talking about something. Yeah. You know, in my emotions, it kind of hurt a little bit. And they went off like, niggas can't even be emotional. Niggas can't feel. Yeah, which way is it supposed to be? Are we supposed to be cold and callous like Stevie J? Or can we have emotions like Kurt? Which way? Is it a happy medium? What the fuck y'all?
It's got to. You can't, man. Listen, you cannot. You can only cry in front of your woman one time.
One time?
One time. One time. Because if that woman see you cry twice, you a hoe in her eyes forever. You a bitch. You got one time to cry in front of your woman. You cry more than once, hey, nigga, you lost it.
But he wasn't even crying. He just said in his...
He always be saying, girl, I'm talking about me. We said we working together. I'm talking about we been together. I'm like, damn, my God. Now you cry more than the last manager on Love & Hip Hop. I don't know if you watched, but that nigga was a crying-ass nigga. I'm with you. I mean, you want us to win together. You know what I'm saying? I mean... And so, you know, I mean, Curry, at the end of they caught the man. Said he down low, he gay, because, you know, I don't know.
Just...
Yeah, man. You know,
just for the people that didn't know, Rashida actually had an album that came out in 2009. So she's come out with an album. It looks like damn near every 2 years or every other year since 2001. Mm. So you know, maybe I mean, like I said, if that nigga's not working, maybe she is making moves.
Oh man, she got a Wikipedia page.
She does. She does actually have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I know she is. It's the Georgia Peach, man. Rashida, man. I just want to know, is that her real hair, man? I know it's probably not.
Hair again,
you
know,
people, I don't know if y'all know this. King Jerm loves hair. So,
what kind of hair? Let's talk about this shit. Because you done talked about Gabby's hair. You talked about Bucky's hair. Now you're talking about Rashida's hair. Do you need the long, flowing hair? Is that what's going
on? No. I just like hair. If your hair look healthy and soft and just, you know, I can run my fingers through. I just like hair, man. I'm just sorry, you know.
So if it's long and flowy, but it's weave, you cool with that too?
If I can, I mean, yeah. I mean, if it's your hair and you got a short little T-bias cut, I'm running. Hey, I'm loving it. Like, oh, you know, the smell of hair, you just smell good. I like hair, man. So, you know.
What if it's a fade?
I'm putting a wig on your head. You know what I'm saying? My fingers through that. And I'm going to tell you to hold on tight to the end. Well, I'm going to show them that Tracy May video where she bought one of them quick wigs and put like a stocking cap on their head and put a band on and put that on. And I was just like, yo, I like that right there. I'm going to have to get one of those. You know what I'm saying?
This nigga is crazy as shit, man.
Shout out Tracy May for the hair video.
Shout out to Tracy May. Cool. We need to get her another episode, too. And congrats to Tracy May, who made some moves recently. So shout out to my homegirl. Let's get off this Love & Hip Hop shit, because that's enough.
Yeah, man.
I watched this shit for you motherfuckers, and it's tough. This week was actually not that bad. But the other weeks that I done watched, yo, y'all owe me. Like, I need y'all to PayPal me some money. Well, maybe not PayPal, but I need y'all to send me some money for dealing with this shit. We're going to move on, though. We're going to keep it in the music. We only got one bit of music news right now. Shout out to Rick Ross, who dropped his album. But we're talking about Drake right now. Drake is allegedly scheduled to produce Aaliyah's new album after all this time. What has it been, 10 years since she passed? 11 years, 12 years, something like that. And Timbo thinks it should be him. Of course he does. Timbaland thinks it should be him and Missy along with Drake. So my question about this whole situation is, I don't know the backstory. I don't know why Drake is obsessed with Aaliyah at all. I haven't figured that one out. But why the fuck isn't, or why, yeah, why aren't, why isn't? Anyway, Timbaland and Missy, Timbaland and Missy should be doing the album. Why aren't they doing it? Why is Drake producing that shit?
I mean, haven't Timbaland and Missy already produced enough Aaliyah albums? I mean, let somebody else have a chance.
No. You roll with the home team. That's who's supposed to produce it. It's the people that's been producing it.
But I mean, if Drake want to do it, let him do it. I mean, like, Drake's the only one keeping her name alive. I haven't heard them shout Aaliyah's name out in the last couple of years, but I have heard Drizzy do it. I mean, Drake got like a, I mean, he's got a hard on for Aaliyah, man. I don't know what's going on, but, you know.
The nigga got two tattoos of Aaliyah. Or he got her face on his back, and then he got her birthday on his ribs or some shit. I don't understand this whole dynamic. Like, was there Aaliyah music out there that needed to be produced? And Timbaland and Missy were fighting over money, and Drake swooped in and said he'd do it, fuck it? Or, like, what happened? What's that dynamic? I don't understand how Drake got involved with this.
Because Drake, I mean, like, did that, yeah, I mean, because I would think, like, Timbaland and him own, like what did he do? Like,
I don't understand. Who did he talk to? I don't understand. I'm completely lost on this, but what did you think of the single? Or have you heard the single?
I mean, I'm not a big Aaliyah fan. I listened to it, and, I wouldn't listen to the album, you know. I'm not a Aaliyah fan at all.
Isn't that worth talking about, though, the fact that, and this is how I feel about it, because I worked in a record store, and I saw how many Aaliyah albums actually came off the shelves, and I feel like nobody was rocking with Aaliyah until she passed.
Oh, and I exactly known it, and you know what I'm saying? And that's the sad part. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody was like, oh, baby girl, whatever they called her, baby doll, whatever. And I was just like, man, come on now. Death did the best for Aaliyah because she was, you know, seriously overrated. But
whoa,
you know, she's like,
I wouldn't go that far. Wait a minute. I liked Aaliyah before she passed.
I mean, she had a couple good songs, but she couldn't dance. I mean, she could dance, I guess, you know. She couldn't sing to save her life. And she was just like, she was, you know, she had the darn, the daggum charisma of a paper bag, man.
God, I mean,
she just...
Germ, do you like women? You've been shitting on women this whole show.
I love women.
God damn, you done shit on Shay. You done shit on Rasheed. The only women you done said love for is K. Michelle.
Man, who else? Man, I said somebody
else. You ain't said nothing nice about nobody but K. Michelle. That's it.
Damn.
It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
No, shit on Michelle Obama. Yeah.
You really. I don't know what's going on with you, Jerm. I don't know what's going on, man. We got to save the brother, man. Twitter delegation, the ladies of Twitter, send this nigga a hug, man. I don't know what's going on with my boy.
I'm okay, man. It's just, you know, daggum.
I don't know, man. Let's get into some news, man. We got some odd shit in the news. You know, this is where I look and find out the most ridiculous shit I can find. And I got to say shout out because somebody sent me an email and they were like, you know, if you haven't been rocking with the Nappy Afro Nation for a while, when we first started doing the Frocast, it initially started out, it was just music. We went from music to talking shit. And now we have kind of a regular format where we talk about a few things. So, one of the things I've done is from looking at shows like Reach Around Radio and Foxhole Radio and shit like that is talk about the news, and then we go in and we talk about that. So shout out to those shows. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what it is. The first story I want to talk about that I haven't seen enough news coverage over is a dude shooting himself in the head while handcuffed. Did you hear about this shit? So apparently the dude's name is Chavis Carter. He was a passenger in the truck that got pulled over in Jonesboro, Arkansas. They went ahead, you know how they do. They found marijuana in the truck. They went ahead and ran his name. They found out he had a warrant. They handcuffed and put him in the back of the truck. So while they're doing the rest of their search, and I mean in the back of the police car, while they're doing the rest of his search, and he's in the back of the car handcuffed with his hands behind his back, they hear a thump. They come back to the car and find this dude slumped over with a bullet wound in the right temple. couple of issues here. Number one, if he's shot in the head and handcuffed, what the fuck happened? That's the obvious issue. How do you shoot yourself in the head with your hands still behind your back? The second issue is if you get handcuffed after being stopped by the cops, they frisk you. So where the fuck did the gun come from in the police car?
Hey, man, the dude's obviously ambidextrous, and he was able to detach both his shoulders and pull out the gun that was in the front seat. The dude was he was awesome. I mean, this is fucked up, man. This is fucked
Not
up.
Not only that, he happened to move his hands out so he can get to the gun wherever the fuck it was. He shot himself
the gun was.
On the right side with his left-handed. And then he put his arms back behind his back before he died. Apparently, because that's how he was found.
Man, that dude was awesome. Good gracious. Wow. So, cops, they were suspended, correct?
Yeah, they're suspended while they do an investigation. What does it take to get fired? I've seen people get fired for less.
Well, they say it's because of the union and all. They just can't come out and fire somebody like that. So
There has to be a loophole. If a nigga ends up dead in the backseat of your police car and he's handcuffed, you're fired.
it should work like that, but damn Obama's America, man.
Oh my god, are we blaming this on Obama too?
Yeah, Obama's America, made these people have unions and stuff.
Jesus Christ, you sound like you just took some bath salts, man.
Yeah, man, I'm just saying, man.
This shit has been going on since well before Obama. Shout out to Rodney King. I don't know why we can't catch cops. Even when we catch them red-handed, they get off. I don't know what it takes to arrest a cop around this motherfucker, but shout out, condolences to his family, and hopefully we'll hear some more about this and figure out what the fuck happened, because I don't know, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's not like he was even sniped from beyond the window. There was no bullet hole in the window. This was all inside the car. So I don't understand what the fuck happened. And if we get some more details on that story, I'll definitely bring that back to you. This is right up the alley of Peabody. Shout out to Peabody, one of the loyal Nappy Afro trolls. Pastor Robert J. Freeman. This is not Pastor Saul Wright or Deacon King Germ.
It's one of your friends, though.
I guess it is. Of course it is. It's one of my crumbs. We roll like a gang.
Hey, y'all graduated from school together.
Of course we did. Pastor Robert J. Freeman was sentenced to 2 years in jail for using church funds. Now, this is well beyond using church funds. He was a pastor in Waldorf, Maryland, which is, basically D.C. metro area, whatever. He was sentenced to 24 months in prison for a related bankruptcy case. He's a 56-year-old former drug addict that often referred to himself as God's top gun of deliverance.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's just talk about what the fuck he did. Fuck the background, fuck all that stuff. Let's talk about what he did. This is the stuff that he did with the money, and here are the loopholes of how it worked. In 2002, he had two Lincoln Town Cars purchased in the name of church members for more than $55,000. In 2003, he had a Mercedes-Benz bought in the name of a church member for $40,000.
Swag.
In 2004, he had a 9,000 square foot mansion in the name of another church member. The mansion included a deep water pier, a 20,000-pound covered boat lift, a personal watercraft lift,
supercar
garages, five fireplaces, and a gym
and
a swim room.
Swag.
He also had two Volkswagen Phaetons. Now, I had to look this shit up. I'd never heard of a Volkswagen Phaeton.
What? But that's when you said that, when I saw it in the thing, I said, oh, you meant Rolls Royce Phantom. Okay, yeah.
No. it looks like a Maybach.
Wow.
He had two of those purchased in the name of church members for more than $140,000. So we're talking about $70,000 per car around this shit. In 2005, he had a Bentley Arnage, I think that's how they say it, and a Maybach purchased for more than $340,000. And in 2006, he got a Mercedes-Benz for $68,000. All of this is in the name of different church members. Some of those, like the Bentley, the Maybach, and the Benz were all in the same of the name, the same name of the same church member. But everything else is all in other church members' names. So, how did he get caught? If you get all these people to buy you, Why do you need so many cars, first of all? But anyway, if you get all these church members to do all this shit for you, how do you get caught? You fall behind. So <Yep. laughs> these motherfuckers fall behind. They end up with a debt of about $1.3 million and $846,000 in back rent. I don't know why you still have rent. $87,000 in lease payments on a jet plane. More than $160,000 for musical instruments, $220,000 in loan payments on a bus. And then after he somehow got out of bankruptcy for all this shit. So somehow they granted him bankruptcy for all this shit in 2006. And he then went and bought another Mercedes-Benz and Lincoln Navigator in another church member's name. God damn.
And once again, how can you get mad at the preacher when he got people that keep letting him get away with it? Sometimes you got to be like, hey, you keep getting, I tell you, man.
Yeah, once people started losing their houses and their jobs, that's when they was like, all right, I got to report this nigga, you know.
Yeah, you know, at what point did it not seem right? I'm getting Pastor a car in his name? Like, what the fuck? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what party game is that?
This is, and here's the clue. This nigga's name is Robert J. Freeman. Robert J. Freeman. I think this nigga is Stevie J. It's Stevie J. talked the congregation into buying him everything under.
He said,
"That's got it."
He said, "Robert J. Freeman." I was like, "Oh, ain't that grandpa name of
that is Mr.
Boondocks?"
That is
Robert.
God damn! So he's gonna do, and he's only doing 2 years.
2 years.
God, and this is, we're talking about damn near $2 million worth of shit.
He's got some money here somewhere. He got some money here somewhere.
It doesn't matter. None of this shit. So even at the end of this, after he goes to jail for 2 years, he probably gets out of jail and still has good credit because everything was in somebody else's name.
Exactly. That's the beautiful part about it. Like, oh no, your credit for they ordered me to pay back what, 700 some thousand, whatever you had to pay back.
Yeah, he's supposed to pay back $630,000 to four members.
Yeah,
because these cats was taking out loans for.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, so I know Peabody's going to say this is another reason why he don't go to church, is because pastors be doing shit like this. I've never heard of anything like this.
See, that's why I go to church, man. People, you know, like that time, Peabody, you had a hat on at church. Of course they're going to look at you funny. You had a fucking hat on.
Was it a baseball cap?
Yeah, turn to the back.
This shit's out of hand. And I've seen, you know what I'm saying, if you black and you've been to church, you've seen the pastor do some shit, you know, that looked a little extravagant. You saw a car that had some rims on it, or, you know what I'm saying, a little extra gold ring and some shit on it. But I've never heard of no shit. This nigga had like 8 cars and houses and jets.
All expensive, yes.
And what church? This is not even a mega church. This is the goddamn, look, this is the televangelist of Save the Seed Ministry. What?
This man, hey, wow.
I bet that collection plate was a fucking bucket.
Man, what you talking about?
Wow. Just had an ATM in the front of the church. You just run up and no money comes out. It just goes in the back of the bag, and they just take the whole bag off the ATM. That shit's out of
hand. You just swipe your card and just punch in how much you want to give. Just give you a receipt. That's it.
But you go to church every week, right?
I go to church. I'm going to say every week. I go to church.
You go to church. Do these stories, you know, like the Bishop Eddie Longs and shit like this, Creflo Dollars, does this deter you in any kind of way from going to church?
No, it don't deter me from church. It deter me from giving money to the church. I mean, you know, I just don't give no money for tithes. I don't pay tithes. Fuck that shit.
So how do you feel about tithes? As far as, because it's supposed to be biblical, right? So how do you feel about
I don't feel bad at all. We got other people giving extra money. Somebody's giving giving more than they need to, so they giving my half. You know, I put in, look, I might give my kids $1, you know. I don't even walk around to the tithes thing. I don't get up.
Hold up, Doc. So you saying that you give your tithes through other people? Like,
I get my kids a dollar. I get each of them a dollar. So when it's time to give, they get their dollar. They walk around, drop a dollar in there. Boop, keep it moving. You know, I don't give it to. I don't do that.
So
shit.
You piggyback on other people's tithes.
Basically, yes.
Hilarious.
Because let me tell you, when I first got a job, man, my mom, you know, like I tell y'all people, you know, me and my mom, you know, we got a weird relationship. She used to call me and was like, when I first got a job, and say, are you giving 10% of your money to the church? Fuck is wrong with you? And then she would tell me, I'm going to call up there and make sure that you give me your 10%. I was just in my head like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you crazy? Like, I'm a 16-year-old kid. You telling me to go drop, like, $25 in church? Are you fucking crazy? Like, no, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sorry. But, yeah, I don't tithe. You know, and then, because like I said, one day I went to church, and the whole sermon, it was about money to the church. Like, in the book, it had a breakdown of how much money you make, how much your tithe should be.
Wow.
This what this motherfucker had. And I saved this. And cause he's like, the church can't survive off the wing of a chicken and off the back of a fish. I guess they talking about some having fish fries and chicken,
right,
having dinners and stuff. Like, we need more money. We need some $1 million members. And, you know, everybody need to get their fair share and we can do this. And I'm saying, like, and then, you know, this would piss me off. He was like, I'm going to be the first one to put my money in the pot. I'm like, stupid nigga. That's your motherfucking money. Like, fuck, you taking money out your left pocket, putting in your right. Like, then his wife come up, put some money in. Like, oh, I mean, and so I was just like, you know, I'm good on, you know, this church all about that money. You know, like, I don't like churches. It's just talk about money. I'm good. Like, this one church in this town, man, it's I love it. It's an AME church, but it reminds me of a Baptist church. And it's just like, you know, it's like young niggas. Cause a preacher talk about smoking weed. Like, you know, he talked normal. Like, he a preacher, but he just talked normal. Like, he don't wear like the suit and tie. He might have like one of them little collar shirts on one Sunday. And it's not like a one of them non-denominational churches. And them shit's weird. I went to one of them, and them shit's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of different. You know, I don't want to offend anybody.
But the pastor talking about weed.
I mean, he was just like, yeah, man, you know. And one day he was talking about how he was like, yeah, I remember I was hiding in some girl closet and her people come home and, you know, we was smoking that stuff, you know, and, wow. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because he did, like, another time he was talking, he was like, yeah, everybody know how to roll up a blunt. He said, wow. Oh, he said, don't act like y'all ain't forgot how to do that. I mean, I like people, he's just not holier than thou. You know, he's just like a normal person just interpreting the word for you. And I can dig that. I don't want somebody looking at me like the motherfuckers washed with the angelic soap and all that. Oh, I don't want that shit, you know. Like, give that aura. I don't like that little aura that the motherfuckers give off. Like, nigga, like, you ain't, like, you don't, you know, it's just weird. It's just weird, but you know.
But, like, how do you, so, okay, if you're, I'm assuming that you consider yourself Christian.
I say I have good moral Christian. I have Christian background. Yeah, I mean, I ain't, you know. Yeah.
So you're not a Bible thumping type of Christian.
I don't live through a book. I live through my heart. You know, don't get me wrong. The Bible got some good moral stories and good little lessons in it. You know, that's good. But I'm not sitting here and say, well, the Bible says. Well, the Bible says. You'll never hear me say that. You know, unless I'm just being funny with my wife when I say, yeah, the Bible says a woman should obey. You know what I'm saying? You know, but that's not a story.
So then, let's see how you would handle this situation. Timothy Paez, okay, tries to talk. This is a guy named Timothy Paez. He's trying to talk to a chick at a party. He's already slizzed. You know, he off that juice. He tried to holler at her. She said, you know, really get the fuck away from me is basically what she said. She turns away. What do you do next? What's your reaction if you're Timothy Paez to trying to holler at the chick and she, you know, brushes you off like it ain't shit as a Christian man?
As a Christian man, I might insult her and say, oh, ma'am, you have a great day.
As a Christian man, you might insult her?
Yeah, I might insult her. I'm like, well, you know, I might say something. I find something quick to pick apart, you know, and turn into that typical, you know, but maybe young King Germ. Today, me, I'm like, okay, man, you know, you have a great day, man. You know, I don't know. I ain't hollered at a girl in so long. I wouldn't know how to. My game is probably whack as fuck now. I'm just be honest. My wife left me today. I'm probably single for like 7-8 years, man.
I don't know. You can watch Stevie J. You can pick up.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
But let me tell you how Timothy Payet handled it, who's obviously...
How did he handle it?
He pissed on her.
Wow.
He whipped his dick out and started pissing on her leg. So, piss is the theme of this Frocast, apparently. Niggas is pissing in the pools, and niggas is pissing on broads. That's apparently what you do.
Wow. Dang, that's extreme. That's extreme.
Just a bit.
I mean, she might. I mean, you know, it's just like I've done some weird stuff. Like I threw a drink on a girl, pour some over here. You know, I've done that.
Wait. Why did you throw a drink on a girl?
Okay, all right. So this girl, this was doing college. This college king germ. You know, some girl. You know, me and her were cool, whatever, like that. You know, me and her was kind of like talking, right? So you know. Whatever. I see her out at the little, you know, college night at the club. I see her out there. You know, I'm playing it cool. So she come over there and holler at me. So I'm like, yo, what's going on? So she talking. And, you know, I'm just like, yo, man, go. You with your friends. Go have a good time. So she thought, she felt slighted by me. So I see her over there dancing with some dude. And then, you know, the dude, you know, I'm like, cool, so what? You know, fine. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? And then the dude bought her a drink, so she was sitting there. I mean, the way she was standing, she was trying to make me see her with this drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, look, see, other niggas buying me shit. Fuck you.
Right.
So I went over there. I grabbed a drink. And I was like, what you trying to show out or something? So I just poured a drink on her head, like, in the club, in front of that nigga. And he was like, hey, what's wrong with you? I said, man, this ain't about you, bro. So just chill out, man. And you know what I'm saying? He respected that. And I poured a drink on her. She, you know, she ain't do nothing. She's like, you an asshole. Fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I was just, like, letting her know. Like, fuck that. You know, but, you know, that's just
hilarious,
what I did.
Nigga. Hilarious.
Yes. I mean, I've done, you know, some crazy shit. What with rejection? Well, I ain't going to say that.
That's just crazy.
If they act stuck up, if they act stuck up, you know, they usually get called that B word. But you know, that was young King Germ. You know, old King Germ don't condone this shit because I got a daughter now. You know,
exactly. That's some crazy shit, man. I don't think I've approached enough women to even have a reaction. Like I'm a real shy kind
of. So you never went on the little holler fest where you just like you do, like man, who cares if they say no? I ain't had a number before.
No,
so it really
dude,
don't
you gotta
matter,
understand.
You know
what I mean? I was a fat, you know, I am. I'm a fat ass dude, so I didn't have a swag like that. You know, I was usually, and I've always been the chick's friend. That's just how I've been. So I've never.
See, that's
been
the one thing, man. They used to love it, man. Oh man, that's the way. That's used to get them right there. Oh my gosh.
No, nigga.
Oh,
what
like
happens
teddy
to me?
Bear. They say, oh, you like a teddy bear.
Exactly,
like, yes.
But this is what happens to me. And this is even the microcosm of how grade school went for me. You know, I'm from the suburbs, like I done told you motherfuckers before. And each of my classes from K through 8, there was maybe a classroom size of about 25 people. Of the 25, a max of us was maybe 7 were dudes. Of the 7, 2 of us were black on average. This is what I dealt with. So from kindergarten up through about 6th grade, I was pretty much the big man on campus because I was the black dude in the school. So I was the cool one. You know what I'm saying? Around 7th grade, maybe 6th or 7th grade, that's when we got some more niggas and these cats came from the hood. Like they fucked up enough that their parents was like, okay, let's put these niggas into private school. And it was over. It was a wrap. At that point, I began to be just a regular ass dude. So from
it's like whoa, I'm missing my
day. This shit was over, son. It was like almost overnight because we had, you know how they sell like Boy Scouts and shit like that. They sell like the summer sausage shit that you can get every year. So my parents would always take the shit to work and sell out. So every year from like kindergarten through 6th grade, I was the champ. I was the one who won. I didn't have to do shit. So I was the popular quote unquote kid all the way up to 6th grade. And then when these motherfuckers came in from Normandy and shit like that, if you're from St. Louis, you know what I'm talking about. These cats came in from Normandy. You know, one of the niggas there was in 7th grade had already been shot before. You know what I'm saying?
Dang. I can't compete with that.
Right.
I can't compete.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in this motherfucker in polos and shit. Dang. And these niggas came in with guest jeans. And it was like, whoa. And the girls were like, oh, my God, these motherfuckers. So it was over for me at that point. But it's been like – I always been just the regular ass dude. I've been cool with the females. So because these niggas came in and because the chicks already knew me, this was the fresh meat. So instead of trying to holler at me, they was like, what's up with your boy? And that's pretty much how it went. So I've always been just a regular ass chill dude. I think I've only approached maybe 2 or 3 chicks in my whole life. So I don't have any rejection stories like that. I don't even know how I'd handle it. I'd probably just be like, oh, well, it's fucked up. But I definitely.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, rejection, I mean, like I said, a lot of niggas handle it well. A lot of niggas don't. But, you know, it's, I mean, like I tell them people, like, man, you know, as I got older, I mean, because I was like, man, I just got to call my shot. So, I, you know, my ratio will go up, like my percentage, you know, because at one point in time, your boy was batting like about 90. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, because it was just like, man, that talk game was a motherfucker. When I was about 19, about 23, oh, man, I was a monster.
But you wasn't in relationships with these motherfuckers. You were just handling
business.
I was always in a relationship.
But see, mine was like, maybe it was a quasi-relationship. Maybe it was a relationship on their end, and I was Stevie J-ing it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just one girl, man. She was a virgin, and I really wanted that one. But I had to marry her to get it, and that's when I was just like, it got to the point where I was like, are you really down? Are you really trying to do this? Like, for some ski? You know, it might not be worth it. This was like, man. So I had to give up, man. I told her straight up. I was like, look, man, you deserve someone better than me. You know what I'm saying?
That was Stevie J lines.
And she was a nice little country girl, too. She was like, you're supposed to have me on lock by now. And I was just like, I know. You know what I'm saying? Just like,
Stevie's
like, you never take me around your friends. I was just like, I don't take. I said, you don't take the fine china to the paper plate events.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
This
nigga, Stevie J.
Hey, it was so funny, man. Then, hey, this girl here, my homeboys knew all about it. You know what I'm saying? It was so crazy. Because one time, it was some girls at my homeboy house, right? He was trying to, you know, I ain't even trying to holler, you know what I'm saying? But he took me out the game early. He was just like, hey, Jay, he said, where the miss is at? I was just like, what? He was like, what day in it? I was like, oh, you just gonna throw it out there like that. Oh, you got a girlfriend? I was like, oh, I see what you did. Because he knew. Because he knew, man. It was sad, bro. It was sad.
God damn. And see, the thing about it is that even though I didn't, like I said, I didn't approach a lot of chicks, but once I started fucking and I had a girl, nigga, I became Stevie J. So, because like my boy.
Every man got some Stevie J in them, Paul.
Yeah, it really, that's when it came out, Paul. I was hanging with my boy and he was always macking the chicks. So every chick that he macked had a friend. So usually, you know, I show up, you know, at their house or wherever the fuck we at, or they show up and they bringing their friend along. And my conversation was real barbaric, nigga. I was like, you know what? I'm fucking now and I got a girl. I'd like to fuck, but I'm not leaving my girl. So what's up? And every time they was like, oh, nigga, whatever. Fuck you. Get out of here. And I didn't bother me because I had a chick. But every single one of them motherfuckers the next day or, you know, next 2 days.
Terrible wingman.
Hey, nigga, I had a girl.
But still though, what you did, you at least supposed to try to keep them at bay until your buddy can, you know, you got to get them back to the room. Once you get them back to the room, all bets off.
Now, my boy, he never had an issue with getting the other chick back to the room.
Like, oh, okay.
The friend was never interference.
Okay.
So it wasn't that type of thing. I was just there. Like, we were each other's company, I guess is the best way to put it. And I was just like, yo, I got a chick, you know, conversation would be cool. And at some point, I was like, all right, so, I mean, you trying to get down or what? But you got a girl. Yeah, I got a girl. I'm not leaving, but, you know, I want to get down. What kind of shit is that? Okay, cool. You know, no problem. I was not bothered. But I promise you, each and every one of them motherfuckers the next day or two was giving me a phone call. Every time. So that was, you know, that was my Stevie J moment. But grade school and shit like that, never happened. Never happened. Man. We'll have to get into that. Whenever we finally do this 80s show, we got to talk about all that bullshit.
I'm going to do it right after we get the t-shirts.
Ain't this a bitch? and speaking of that shit, we talked about this before the show, the pre-show that might make the recording. We talked about the Chick-fil-A shit last week, and I was letting you know that before the show started, the gays, the LGBT community, did a kiss-in at Chick-fil-A. Where they were inside and out front of Chick-fil-A, same-sex kissing in protest to Chick-fil-A bosses, shit like that. So it's been a wild and busy week for homosexuals. And this story came up, and I figured it was just a great time to plug it into the Frocast.
Chick-fil-A said they had record numbers. They did record numbers.
Of course they
did. Yes, they said the best day like ever. Yeah. But go ahead.
That Wednesday when we saw people wrapped around the building 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. This was like the next day or that same weekend they did the kiss in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe one, at some point we'll talk about my feelings on that. But this cat named DeWine Porter, and this is not DeWine Porter from YouTube, my homeboy DeWine Porter from DeWine PTV. This is just another dude by the same name in Harrisburg, PA. Apparently, this motherfucker would go out kicking it. He's a local DJ in Harrisburg. He would go out kicking it with people, and then they would go back to whoever's house or whatever and go to sleep. I don't know what kind of grown man having sleepovers. But he would go to sleep, and then he would assault them. Now, when I say assault, I'm not talking about he was whooping their ass.
He gonna rob him? He just beating them up and robbing them, right?
No. He was coming into the room. Some places he would even leave and then come up the fire escape, climb into the window. And there's no homo way to say this. He was sucking dick, yo.
Oh, shit.
So you sleep, and this motherfucker either stayed over the night with you or you was just kicking it with him. He comes in through the window. You wake up, and this motherfucker's jawboning while you sleep. And apparently he's done this 3 times. Now, the part of this story that really made me look at it all sideways is that this motherfucker that reported it said, Porter has done this more than 3 times. I woke up because I felt a hand go on my pants. So basically, you knew this motherfucker was doing this. You brought him back to your crib and went to sleep, and now you want to act like you got assaulted? I think all these motherfuckers was gay. And they were just getting down, and they didn't like something. Something about it. That
something happened. Nigga, yeah, something came
raced him with his teeth and some shit. Or the nigga went to the club DJ and was giving him shout outs during the break beats. Like, want to say shout out to my man Sean last night. Was great, baby. Chibi, chibi. And like, yeah, we got a problem.
Wow. He breaks into homes and gives blowjobs.
Yeah, that's basically it. Get
the fuck out of here. Oh, man. And then. And you're doing this to straight guys, I presume, you know, because
he did it 3 times and he's still alive. I don't know how.
So I mean, how do you? Okay, so let me ask you a question. You sleep and a dude is trying to grab your meat, and I mean, you just like, hey man, chill, quit playing, dog. Go on back on your side of the house. I mean, what the fuck,
man? I know somebody killed behind it.
A dude like, oh, I almost caught you slipping, nigga. I almost caught you. Wake up, you sleep. Yeah, you sleeping 1 hour, like, I got you, nigga. You thought I was asleep. Yeah, I got you. Quit playing, dog. Quit playing.
You wake up this motherfucker doing a Stevie J face with your meat in his hand.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He like, yeah, come on, stop, man.
I know, like I said, I know somebody who got killed behind this shit. Apparently, he was on the down low or whatever, and it was like a graduation party. This is from high school. It was a graduation party or some shit like that. And the story goes, I don't know anything about the shit, you know, the actual shit, but allegedly, one of the guys was asleep there at the party, and it was a co-ed sleepover, so everybody was just partying, kicking it with the sleep. And this motherfucker apparently tried to do this. He tried to pull a DeWine Porter on the nigga. The nigga, you know, threw him off his ass, and then he left. Came back later on that day with a shotgun, knocked on the door. Homeboy opened the door, got shot in the chest. Damn. Rest in peace. It's over. And I don't know how this dude did it 3 times. How does this happen 3 times?
I mean, that's the craziest story ever. And then did you see the way he looked, man? He looked like a total creep, man.
He looked creepy. The fact that he crawled up the fire escape.
He really wanted to suck some meat that bad, bro. I mean, he really wanted some meat in his mouth that bad, bro. Pause on all of that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's going down to Harrisburg, PA. It's not Florida this time. It's Harrisburg, PA.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, all the news has been above, not in the South. Yes.
Well, that is until this last story.
Oh, man.
Your cousin, Zachary Pace, in Jackson, Alabama, decided to, after finally, you know, he begged the store owner. This is a place called Jack's. I thought it was Jack in the Box, but it's some off-brand-ass chicken place called Jack's. He begged the store owner to give him a job. She gives him a job. This nigga shows up to the job in a black mask. So he's been working there for, you know, a certain amount of time. He shows up with a black mask and demands money at gunpoint.
Wonderful.
Everybody knew the nigga's voice. And started calling him by name with his mask on. Like, Zach, quit playing, nigga. We know that's you. Put the gun down, nigga. Come to work. Instead, he jumps over the counter, takes the money, and breaks camp. Now, everybody knows it was him, or everybody assumes it was him because they know the voice. The cops show up. They're doing the investigation. this nigga comes back in to just check on everybody. He's not scheduled. He's not coming in to work. He's coming in just to see how everybody's doing. And got locked the fuck up.
He's probably dumber than the chick that broke into the jail. You know what I'm saying? At least, you know.
They got to be related. They got to.
Yeah, they got to be the same town, and it's something in that water down there that make people do dumb ass shit. Because, you're robbing your job. I mean, first of all, if you're robbing a fast food place, and I'm assuming Jack's don't do good numbers like that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going to rob somebody, be enough to leave town. Your dumb ass in Jackson, like, you know, everybody probably know everybody down there. Oh, Zach, you're a dumbass.
And you had to beg for the job. You get the job.
Yes. I mean, so it's not like I ain't got your social security number. Maybe they don't, you know, in Jackson, Alabama, they don't do all this shit. Because, you know, Alabama is one of the worst states out there. You know what I'm saying? You know,
maybe.
One of the worst.
I don't know. It's motherfucking. And I'm,
now, South Carolina's the worst.
Hey, I got people in South Carolina, motherfucker.
I do, too.
Talk on. But I don't understand. Like, I've had some jobs where people were stealing, allegedly. Oh. And I've had jobs.
I've had some jobs where I was stealing. But go ahead. That's neither here nor there.
That's King Germ. That's not, you know, you.
Statue of limitations.
Yeah, that was Young Germ. Have I taken from a job? We won't talk.
No, this was Germ of about 4 years ago. But go ahead.
God damn.
Oh, I was heavy embezzling. I'm not going to say which job it is because I don't want nobody to put two and two together and, you know, change the way they look at me in their eyes. They might be friends on my Facebook page, but, you know.
Was it the church? I mean, since we were talking about
church. No, no church. I don't steal from churches, man. Right. I respect the Lord. I respect Korean Jesus.
Well, anyway, man, I've had a lot of bad jobs. I've had jobs where I even want to knock the shit out the manager. Like, come in on my off day and knock the motherfucker out. I've never tried to steal from the job. Like, shouldn't he have taken the easy way out when they was like, quit playing, put the gun down, and just took the mask off and said, yeah, I'm bullshitting.
I mean, he would have got more money by just hitting the register, just stealing money out of the drawer and making them do a big investigation on who, you know, just steal money out of one of the drawers, man. I mean, cause I'm sure, like I said, that was dumb what he did, man, because now, you know, your life all fucked up. You could have just stole $100 out of the register because you probably didn't get no more than $300.
He probably didn't get that. It's a fast food joint. This ain't a retail store.
Exactly. Yeah, and like I said, you probably could have took $20-$30 out of the drawer every night until they found out it was you, and then like, oh, I got you, bitches, now you can fire me, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was stupid.
The stories of people that I know that worked at fast food that robbed the shit out of the drive thru.
Oh my God, let's not go there. I used to make about $160 a night. I worked two nights
a night.
Yes, $160. I mean, and it was so funny. This is the craziest part. One night, the manager, he came to me, he was just like, Let me get $30. I said, man, I ain't got no money. He was like, come on, man, I know what you're doing. I said, man, what you talking about? He's like, bruh, I've been working at McDonald's for a long time. I know what you're doing. He said, I tell you what, you just give me $30 every night. And, you know, this man gave me the key so I could open up the register whenever I used to make about 160, 170 a night, man. I mean, I used to just memorize all the prices. People roll up, you know, I just give them some price and they'll pay. Because, you know, I wasn't no credit cards then, baby. It was just straight cash, right, homie. You know what I'm saying? Went none of that. Went none of that swiping no card. You know, no. You know, straight cash, homie. You know what I'm saying?
God damn. And maybe he couldn't figure that out. So this is just the only way he figured it. Okay, can we? I just thought of this. If he's this broke, where the fuck he get the gun?
A gun from anybody. I mean, you can borrow a gun.
So, you know, borrow a gun? Nigga, you about to rob somebody. Whose gun you borrowing to do a robbery?
Somebody that's just as roguish as you are.
I guess so.
You run in seedy circles, you know. You got a person for this, a person for that. Like, oh, hey, let me borrow that gun that you stole from the house. Hey, okay, go ahead, man. Just, hey, if you get caught with it, don't say my name, nigga. You know how it go.
I'm not trusting this nigga. He probably already told on that motherfucker, man.
Exactly.
God damn. So, we through with the bullshit news for the week, man. We're about to get into the wrap it up portion of the show. And we got to talk about questions from the nation. Last week was the Peabody edition, and this week it looks like it's a Peabody edition.
People, please send us in questions. Ask us anything. It don't. I mean, you know, please. I mean, you know, Peabody, thank you for sending it in. But, I mean, hey, Peabody the only one sending in, so we're going to ask this question.
Peabody.
Shorty, fucking Smoke Luciano, Vic D, man, get on your fucking job. Send in some questions, man.
Major Thomas.
Cornell. Anybody, man. It don't matter.
So, the question this week is from Peabody, and he says, and I don't even, well, anyway, he says, do you think the next generation of game consoles will be as massive as the current generation of consoles? I don't really understand what he means by massive.
Whatever, I'm going to say no homo, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really understand the question. I guess he means, will it be as major or will it be as...
I mean, I think the video game's just going to continue to get better. I mean, it's going to be so realistic to the point where, you know, I mean, I could just see it now. Like, you know, they're going to have something you strap onto your eye or something, and, you know, your arms, and it's just, it's ridiculous. So, of course, they're going to get better. I mean, why wouldn't they get better?
There's no reason, based on the precedent that's set, there's no reason to think it's going to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, technology is here. I mean, things continue to get better. TVs continue to get thinner.
Yeah.
Laptops continue to get lighter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, memory drives are getting bigger. You know, everything's getting better. So I'm going to answer your question. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Now, are you going to spend money and get the next Xbox 720 or the PS4?
When does it come out?
I don't know. Next year is what I heard.
Oh, okay. I thought it come out this year.
No. I mean, they haven't even officially released any of this shit yet. It's, you know, we're talking about summer of 2013 at the...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm getting a new Xbox, yes. I was wondering why all the price was dropping. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm getting a new Xbox. That's why I'm glad you told me this now, because I was holding on buying some extra stuff. Hey, quick question to the nation. I got a question for y'all motherfuckers out there.
Uh-oh.
My HDMI port on my Xbox is not working correctly. Is that something I can get fixed? Anybody with information, please let me know.
What do you mean it's not working correctly? Like, you plug the shit in and it's just not doing nothing?
Yeah, it's not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? I know it ain't the HDMI cords because I bought brand new cords. And so it was just like, so it's some, my port, it looks funny down there. So if anybody is a tech head, and, you know, because I'm going to take it to the shop and I just, you know, don't want them to beat my head in, Pauls.
I don't know what the fuck you did. I know it took a minute for me just to figure that shit out, because I plug it in and I hit the little switch on the shit and between the HDTV and regular TV, and I'm like, this shit ain't working right.
If you just put an HDMI cord, you don't need all the other cords.
Right, it's supposed to just work. You know, I've never even used my shit on there, so I don't know. I just use that.
What?
I just use the old big one that came with
yellow.
I used the big one that came with the
coaxial cable.
I used the one that came with.
It's all right. Do you have an HDTV?
Yeah, I've got the one that's got the HD switch on it. So I'm getting HD, I'm using the red, yellow, green.
You're not getting HD.
What?
Man, listen, you got to get the HDMI cord, bro. The HDMI cord goes right above, like, where the, it's over near where the internet cord is, but HDMI cord replaces all the component cables. The sound quality is better. Even video games come on differently.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I knew it was hooked up. It's still
so it's a EA HD when you put in a sports game.
I don't know. I had to go back and look. Nah, I know it's definitely sounds
like when you turn on, like when you turn on, like a Madden or something, it'll say EA HD. You know what I'm saying? And or like college, it'll say EA HD, and like you see like the Texas people, the cheerleaders flipping or something all like that. You know, yeah, but yeah, it's totally different.
I had to double check. I knew it was different once I got the shit to work. I was like, oh shit, everything's clear and sounds better, but you know. It is what it is, man. So that's the question from the nation. And nation, if you know how to fix germ shit, hit us up in the comments section or shoot us an email, nappyafro@gmail.com or nappyafromail@gmail.com.
And please, motherfuckers, don't just say Google it, because I would, you know.
Yeah, we're fine.
And real quick, the boss Be Easy just ran something by me. He just put it on my desk, and he wants me to mention. This is his note from Be Easy. I'm gonna read it, you know, in spoken of context. If y'all haven't done the Frocast yet, be sure to mention that if a listener isn't near a computer and just wants to stream the show from their phone, they can download an app called Stitcher. That's STITCHER. Search Nappy Afro or Frocast.
and they can stream episodes through their phone without downloading. And he wants me to mention that if people are having trouble finding the Frocast on the main site, they can go straight to www.frocast.com for all previous episodes. So that is from the Boss Be Easy, and I read it on the Frocast.
There okay. you go. So, you know, if you're having trouble getting to us, that's straight from the boss's desk.
Yeah, you can get the Stitcher app, and you can just stream it. You ain't got to, you know, download it if you don't want to download it.
And so we're going to move on to the real nigga quotes. And we didn't have an email this week, but I want to take this directly from the Love and Hip Hop situation.
Okay.
Benzino and Carly Red, like we said, they've been dating for 4 shows now, which is maybe a month or two. And he's ready to propose. This nigga's all in. You know, he's been all in from the jump. Is he crazy or is it possible that he's that far in this quickly?
Well, with Benzino being 47 years old, and it's you know, him being that old, I think he's all in. And the sad part is like, I don't even think he knows his bitch real name. Like, you talking about me, her parents, you gave her keys to your house. You talking about some, yeah, this might be the one, I might just lock her up. Like, I mean, it's sad, man, it's sad. But, you know, hopefully he'll come to his senses and smell the roses. And, you know, it's like, it looked like he's never had pussy before in my life. That's what... You know, that's the way he's going about. Like, he's just so in love, dreaming, cooking for, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this just, you know, I bet you he changed his will already. Like, I mean, that's ridiculous. She must suck a hell of a dick, man. So Carly Red, I mean, she must got that super dome, that Hubert H. Humphrey Metro dome.
Bro, okay, wait a minute. How long did it take before you knew that your wife was going to be your wife?
Oh, man, it See, man, we met. It was just like certain little things made me think, like, this might be the girl for you, man. It was just like, because she was there for me, like, it saved me from, like, when the feds ran in my homeboy house, she had came and picked me up, like, 15 minutes before, like, 15, 20 minutes before the feds ran up in the house. And the shit was like, you know, and it was just like little stuff. Like, she was like my little guardian angel. And I was like, maybe this girl meant for me. And, you know, and you know.
But how long did it take for you? It was like, yeah, this is it.
Oh, probably about 2 years.
So before that, you weren't even sure not only that you were going to get married, but that you would get married to her?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I mean, I said in my head that I was going to get married between 25 and 28. When I met my wife, I was like 22. You know, I was young, you know, 22, 23. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and like after like 2 years in, I was like, you know what? I think, you know, this might be the one. I mean, you know, having a baby accelerated everything. Don't get me wrong, but she's a great person. I was just like, yo, this is the one. You know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, Benzino, like, he ain't even made 90 days. And he talking about some, you know, like, he all in. He all in. Like, he just slid all his chips on the table. He gave his bitch the combo to the safe. You know what I'm saying? He changed all his passcodes to her birthday and shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he done.
Yeah, but ain't love emotional like that? Like, ain't that, when you talk about the storybook shit, sometimes it just hits like that, right?
I mean, me personally, I wouldn't fall in love that fast. I just wouldn't, because I'd be like, whoa, let me slow down. Shit, shit just too good to be true. You know, something got to be wrong. You know, me just being, you know, the kind of person, I ain't going to sit there like, you know what, I'm just going to let go and let love take shit. No, I'm not going to do that. End up in fucking, you know, broke as fuck, girl, and took all your, you know what I'm saying? Hell no, nah, smoking crack, like, no.
Smoking crack? Wait a minute, where'd that come from?
And that's how most men get addicted to crack, man, messing with women, huh? Man. So men just don't go smoke crack. Nigga, it gotta be some pussy involved for a nigga to smoke crack. Nigga just not gonna go smoke no crack rock. Nigga gotta be like, some girl gotta be there. She wanna party. She smoking crack. She over there like, ooh, she get free. And then she, you know, you like, holy shit, this shit there. And next thing you know, your whole world fucked up. So, you know, nah, I'm good.
So you blaming Whitney for Bobby Brown smoking crack?
Whitney blamed Whitney for Bobby Brown smoking crack. She said, she said she would go to the dope man and buy that nigga out. She was just like, what? She was probably getting straight up, because she was getting them damn gunplay balls of coke. You know, she wasn't playing. You know what I'm saying? So, God. Yeah, man. Just being real with you, man, because I know that one girl, I'm going to go ahead and mention her name, Sherry Woodbury. Man, She took me to the cleaners. A young King Jern, 18 years old, green as a motherfucker. Hey, she taught me a lesson. You know, like, hey, don't be that nice guy you want to. You'll get that. I'm going to show you. You want to spend money? I'm going to show you how to spend money on a woman. She taught me, nigga, and I ain't never been the same since then.
Damn. So you always, from that point on,
I was Benzino. I was Benzino in it with her. That's what I was doing. How Benzino was with Carly, that was me.
But it sounds counterproductive to me to try and, because love is an emotion and relationships is real shit. So when you try and govern an emotion with, you know, your brain and shit like that, it just ends up throwing shit. It just makes shit weird and odd. And that's usually where stuff falls apart. Like, because like I said, I'm friends with a lot of females and I hear the stories of being single and the troubles they're going through with men and shit like that and how they want to be. Like, I even got a homegirl now who just told me that she's got a relationship with a dude now and they're perfect. You know what I'm saying? There's no titles on a relationship and they've been doing this for a while and they're good. They're not messing with anybody else, but they don't call themselves boyfriend, girlfriend. But now she's feeling like she's starting to really fall for him, so she wants to cut it off. And I don't understand that. Like, I think if you're talking about love and being emotional about some shit, hey, man, sometimes you just got to throw caution to the wind and follow the way it feels, and then you deal with the bullshit if it falls apart.
Yeah,
you're right. I'm just alone with that shit, I guess. We'd have to talk about my story on another show, but I don't know. That's just how I've always been. I've always just, you know, you ride with the emotions and you deal with the shit when it falls apart if it falls apart. I can't.
Love is crazy, man. Love is crazy.
Completely. So that is the real nigga quote situation.
Yeah.
Good luck, Benzino and Carly Red.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's gonna turn out. What does she do? Like, what is her job?
She's a singer, rapper, or whatever.
Nah, but she doesn't have a song. So what does she do?
But she's waiting for Stevie J to give her that hit song, man.
Right, you know, but she's wearing Chanel and she's wearing Louis Vuitton.
She signed the Cash Money, man.
When?
I mean, it was a surprise. That's what she said on the show. She was signing the Cash Money. But Birdman didn't know that.
So, but what was she doing? Like, what was she doing before that where she was able to live that lifestyle and look like the hip-hop wives shit?
She was dating L.A. Reid's son or whoever, you know? You know, it's,
but
I don't know
40.
What she did. I mean, she lived in California. I guess she got brown light skin. I don't know, man. I mean, I can't come up with any more excuses of why Carly Red is on the show.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, I say something, right? Like,
I'm trying to drop
some Max.
I don't get it. Like, I understand K. Michelle. I understand Rashida. Yeah. I understand Mimi, apparently. But okay. I don't understand how she's on the show with that kind of status and quote unquote the look. What is she doing?
She was born in 1960.
Shit. 1960 what?
60 on the dot. According to her Wikipedia page, she has one now. So thank K. Michelle for getting Carly Red a Wikipedia page.
God damn. So this bitch is 50.
It's man.
So she's 52.
52, April the 15th. Man, come on, man. Somebody doing there. Yeah, oh man.
That's gotta be.
Oh man, this somebody had to.
That's gotta be false.
Because it says right here, Carly Red, born April 15, 1960 in New York, New York, is a Trinidadian, whatever, hip-hop artist, dancer, model, and actress. By age of 16, she had made dozens of appearances as a model in television commercials and films. As a dancer, she toured with the prestigious Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. She rose to fame in 2009. Hold on, you can't be born in 1960 and rose to fame in 2009.
We're not going to take that. We're not going to accept that. As much as I would love to laugh at and blaspheme her name, I besmirch her good name, there's no way she was born in 1960.
She's also an entrepreneur. It said it released the Carly Red Mixology watch line and lip gloss line Jade Red.
can we get somebody who knows in the nation, let us know what the fuck Carly Rae really did before the show.
I'm reading this right here.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that shit's right.
Man. Look, it said Carly has been featured in remixes to the J. Holiday smash hit Bed and Jill Scott song Hate on Me. Carly has worked with Grammy-nominated producer Los Dumb Maestro, Sean Kingston, Claudette Ortiz of City High, Hot Dollar.
I refuse to believe this.
KRS-One. KRS-One.
I refuse to believe this. She's Stassi, too.
Here's the clincher. And major record producer Stevie J. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And on that note, we're just going to roll right into the Hit of Hell Nah for the week. I refuse to believe that bullshit. This week's Hit of Hell Nah for episode 41 of the Frocast. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and all the other social media sites, nappyafro.com. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Mr. Classic. That's King Germ, a.k.a. Taco for this week. This week's episode, Hit of Hell Nah, is brought to you by Jevy, and the song's name is I'm a King. Let's just get to the song, man. Episode 41.
Hard to explain the way I'm feeling. I look inside the mirror and I see one of the realest, huh? See, at first I was chasing after millions, but my destiny is written. Now I'm chasing after billions. Bitch, I'm a king.
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 I'm a king. Nigga, I said a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king. Let me tell you what it means.
What it means.
Yeah. Never was a firm believer that the sky's the limit. When I reach the gates of heaven, that's when Jevy will be finished. Take a picture, history's always photogenic. Feel like LeBron, all these haters can do is witness. We shining like the sky, 7 month, 4th day. Giving them these verses, got them feeling like it's Sunday. Man, I'm lifted like a face you see in Hollywood. I'm focused on the green, I feel like Tiger Woods. Like Ross, say a boss is one who making sure we eat. Take all movement, ENT, we standing on our feet. There's purpose within everything I do. Consider this a gift from me to you. Nigga, I am a king. Yeah, it's hard to explain the way I'm feeling. I look inside the mirror and I see one of the realest, huh? See, at first I was chasing after millions, but my destiny is written. Now I'm chasing after billions. Bitch, I'm a king.
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 I'm a king. Nigga, I said a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king. Let me tell you what it means.
What it means.
I should be walking around with my crown on. They see me and they see money, they call me Dow Jones. If they asking about me, tell them my style's grown. We all over the map, they call us Rolling Stones. Yeah, there ain't no telling where this road is taking me. Too much of anything is never good, somebody pray for me. I know I can't get caught up with losing my balance, but it's crazy when you start getting noticed for all your talent, yeah. I told my nigga Bezos that I'm all in. Really tryna ball on these niggas, Jeremy Lin. I never felt at nothing that I put my mind to. I feel like I deserve it after all the shit I've been through. Yeah, it's hard to explain the way I'm feeling. I look inside the mirror and I see one of the realest, huh? See, at first I was chasing after millions, but my destiny is written. Now I'm chasing after billions. Bitch, I'm a king.
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 Nigga, I said a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a king. Let me tell you what it means.
What it means.
Okay, so let me give you the bio information for the song. Jevy has a niche for making music that instantly captures the attention of all audiences and has provided support for Meek Mill, Tyga, Wale, Kendrick Lamar, Travis Porter, Yo Gotti, and Slaughterhouse, to name a few. Jevy's upcoming schedule includes providing support for Rocky Fresh and Rick Ross this summer. So I guess he's on the same bill with them cats. With the release of his newest project, Fahrenheit 2K12, which is has been submitted for numerous hip-hop blog and music magazine affiliates, Jevy is being labeled by some as the next big hip-hop artist out of South California. So, what did you think of the song I Am King by Jevy Jerm?
I liked it, man. It was all right, man. It was all right. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, he had a nice little flow with him. The beat was pretty good. The hook, you know, the hook was complete. You know, he wasn't hitting me over the head with too many rapidy rap lyrics. You know, he was just super lyrical. I mean, he was saying something. So, you know, hey, man, I liked it, man. So, Jevy, GV, or however you say your name, I'm going to say it's a hit in King Germ's book, man.
Yeah, I want to not like it. just because I tend to be that way sometimes. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? But I can't. You know, I think it's pretty straight. It's like you said, it's not extra lyrical, and I don't believe, and this will be another show that we actually have to do, I don't believe every rapper has to be super lyrical to be good and to fit their niche. So I think for what he is and for what he's doing, it's a hit. It's a good song. I think the production was straight, and it's an enjoyable song. It's just what it is, man. So that's a hit. So, Jevy, this week you have made Hit a Hell Nah. Make sure you're tweeting this out to your friends and all that good shit. It's been a hell of a show, man. Germ, you're a silly motherfucker, dog. For real.
Oh, man. Oh, just to go back on Carly Rae, she was in the movie Baps in 1997.
This is the end of the show. No. We're not. No. I refuse to believe that shit on Wikipedia for Carly Rae. It said 1960, man. She's 52?
It said she was on Scream Queens on VH1. Carly Lewis is her real name at 49 years old, and that was in, you know, 2010. So yeah, man, I believe, you know,
we're moving the fuck on. This is episode 41 of the Frocast, getting our Glenn Rice on, man. I ain't doing no shout outs this week. Yes, I am. I guess I do a few shout outs. You're not doing no shout outs?
I got a few.
Go ahead, man, do your shout outs, because you had a long week. You need to give your shout outs.
Oh, well, man, shouts out to E on my Twitter people, at Chichi Lopez, at Ann Lane, at Smoke Luciano, at Cornell the Great, the whole Nappy Squad, at E Gets It Done. You know, the people at that site, that, you know, showed us some love on the last show. You know, hopefully, you know, y'all continue listening. I'm working on getting a couple of y'all on some future shows, so we got that coming up. But that's about it, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know what happened this week. Somebody was talking about my mama, but I picked up a lot of new followers, or I hate saying followers, a few new people that read my tweets. So shout out to Louda Chef. Shout out to...
Hey, man, she blocked me, man.
What? Well, what did you... Probably because of the Gabby shit.
Hey, man, no. I've been blocked for a minute, man. But hey, man, holler at her, man. Tell her I ain't that bad, man. Tell her I want to support her business, man. So, you know, tell her to unblock me, bro. Tell her to unblock me.
You just told her, man.
I'm going through you for the shit, man. Listen, man. I want you to vouch for me, man. I want you to vouch for me, man. Say, look, man. Say, look, unblock me, man. God, wouldn't, you know, hey, man, you know, but yeah, go ahead, man.
I just found out I got blocked by somebody too the other day. Somebody I thought I was cool with. Man. I was like, wait a minute, I got blocked? What'd I do? I don't even tweet.
I was just like, yo, what?
I don't know what happened.
I was like, so you gonna let that come between? Come on, man. This is two different platforms. Hey, maybe
if you buy some butters. You know what I'm saying? You buy some butters, maybe you get back there.
I'm telling her. But that's why I said you need to talk to her. Tell her if she unblocked me, I'll buy some creams, bro.
Hey, nigga, look, she just started following me. You think I'm going to besmirch my good name and my good reputation already?
It's all right, man. CMB, man, we all we got. Okay.
Shout out to Louda Chef, man. Shout out to Outfit Tip. Kirsten Peterson just followed me. Kirsten Peterson. Shout out to $15. $15.com. He's got a book out that y'all may want to hear about. When we do a serious show, we might bring him on and do that. Shout out to Roland Richard. Shout out to Oscar De La Toya. Poopyskins. Poopsikins. I think that's how you say it, Twitter name. Shout out to Mr. Reynolds. Shout out to Girl Gotti. Shout out to Kimo Sabi. You know, shout out to everybody that fuck with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that shit, man. And definitely shout out, the biggest shout out of all is always to the Fro Nation in general, man. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. And this is why we do it every week, be it good or bad, we show up every week for you. So we will holler at y'all next week on episode 42. Once again, I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Mr. Classic, sitting here with the homie King Germ, a.k.a. Taco. And we holler at you motherfuckers next week. Peace.
Peace.
NappyAfro.com.